Hi everybody, this is Pinakin Munshi. We will now cover chapter 2, which is mercantile and commercial laws. What we will try to cover today is understand the definition of mercantile law, commercial law, business law, objectives of business law, sources of mercantile law, and scope and boundary of the mercantile law. So what is the definition of a mercantile law? There are various terms used to describe this particular law. It is known as a mercantile law because you are basically transacting in a merchandise. Also known as a commercial law because it deals with trade and commerce. Again, transactions between people. Business law because it deals with business again, which is transactions. So it can be buy, sell, or someone is acting as an agent, etc. So basically all these three laws are synonymous and we term them as the mercantile law. So basically a business law or a mercantile law is dealing with the rights and obligations of the business persons which is arising out of business transactions in respect of the business operations or business property. So basically everything to do with business. We'll see the scope. In a socialistic form of a country like India, there is always an effort from the government to ensure equitable distribution of wealth. So a lot of our laws or acts are made in such a way that they try to achieve this objective. That means the taxes on the higher earners or taxes on higher profits is higher than as compared to lower income groups or businesses. Also small scale industries have some favorable treatment as compared to medium scale and as compared to the large scale industries. So this is also what the Indian law tries to achieve, equitable distribution of wealth. So let's look at now what are the objectives of the business law. So first and foremost, it attempts to define the framework within which a business has to be carried out. That means all business activities are monitored or controlled or guided by this particular law. It also raises the issue of various legal or semi-legal authorities, or rather it is raises issues to legal and semi-legal authorities whenever the rights of a business are being violated. So even if a business is violating a right, then too they will escalate it to the appropriate authority and there may be some penal actions. The laws are not only restrictive in nature, sometimes they are also encouraging in nature. That means they provide certain incentives for the business to grow. Because ultimately, the government also earns revenue from the business in the form of various taxes, like we have seen. It could be the excise, sales tax, octroi, and of course the corporate taxes, etc. So the government also tries to encourage businesses to perform better and to grow. Business law also has the social objective in mind. Basically to protect the interest of the citizens. One of the example is the price control that you have on medicines. There are a group of essential medicines where the prices cannot be unilaterally decided by the pharma companies. They have to be decided jointly with the government. So where they basically look at the ingredients, the cost of manufacture, and they decide on a fair profit margin, and that is how the prices are fixed. So basically this is to make sure that essential goods like medicines are available to the people at a reasonable price. Also the business law tries to prevent concentration of economic power with the large business houses, etc. Now what do we mean by this? You have companies which are manufacturing goods which are very powerful. You have the consumers on the other end. Now consumers have very little power. So in case you are saddled with substandard goods, you cannot fight a big business house. So the law here tries to prevent the common man, the consumer, against business houses. So in that sense, it prevents concentration of power or economic power to business houses, and it gives a certain power for resolution of any complaints or settlement of any claims by individuals. So how the mercantile law has evolved? The starting point is the Indian Contracts Act 1872. So this is the basic mercantile law, which was formulated by the British based on the English mercantile law. And this law has basically evolved over the years. Some of the important sources of this mercantile law are, like we already said, the English mercantile law. You have the judicial decisions and precedents. So we discussed about, there are certain aspects which are not clearly defined in the law or act. So there could be certain court cases, there could be certain judicial pronouncements, that means certain judgments are delivered, and in such cases these become the guiding factors, or they become a kind of interpretation of that particular law or act under specific conditions. So why does an organization need to know the mercantile law? Basically, thorough knowledge of the business laws is necessary, for the survival, for profitability, and also, as we mentioned, to prevent any liabilities. Because knowing the law, you may be aware, not knowing the law cannot be an excuse in the eye of the law. That means you cannot say, I did not know the law, and you will not be excused. So if you have violated the law, even out of ignorance, you still have to bear the liabilities or the penalties. What is the scope and the boundaries? The Companies Act of 2013 controls all registered companies, and this law actually governs all activities right from the formation of a company till the time a company is maybe closed down. So for certain reason, either because of becoming insolvent, or for reasons that's known to the directors, owners of the company, you may want to shut down. But every aspect is covered under this particular law. We come to the Indian Contracts Act, which is, first it was initiated in 1872. This is the oldest act and a very widely referred act, and every contract, which has offer and an acceptance is actually covered by this act. And also the agency relationships, where you have a principal and an agent, all these transactions or all these relationships are also covered under this act. As you know, the Indian Contracts Act applies to every business whenever there is a sale or purchase of goods. And you can understand, for any industry to operate, this is a fundamental or a basic activity. So it applies to a very wide array of transactions. Then of course you have the Indian Sale of Goods Act 1930, which governs the transactions of sale and purchase by the companies. It divides the terms of sale into conditions and warranties. So in the sale, you have certain conditions. So the sale is subject to fulfillment of those conditions. But also, once the sale has happened, there are certain warranties which a seller has to stand by. So warranties which he has to extend to the buyer, which may be for the quality and the workmanship of the product which are sold. So it basically covers the performance of the contract of sale. So this is the second important act as far as the Indian business is concerned. The Contract of Partnership Act 1932. So partnership is defined as the relationship between persons who have agreed to share the profits of a business carried out by one or all of them acting for all. What it means is, because in a partnership generally two or more partners come together. Now the partners could be bringing either capital or expertise or both into the business, and you can have a partnership where the business is carried out by all the partners. That means they are all actively involved in carrying out the business. Or it could be that some of the partners are only financing the operations, they don't actively participate, in which case maybe one of them may be acting on behalf of all the partners. So the Partnership Act basically regulates or manages the partnership firms and all the aspects relating to partnership firms. As you know, majority of the firms in India are partnership firms. All the trading activities majorly happens in this form of firms or organization. So naturally this act is applicable there. Now this particular act contains about 74 sections, and it's applicable to all the states, the whole of India except Jammu and Kashmir. This is just for your information, that this particular act does not apply to Jammu and Kashmir. So with that we come to the end of the mercantile law. We have covered the basics of the mercantile law. Thank you.